disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I gotta tell you, this was one of those mornings for me. I've got for, I don't know, like 34, something like that when I climbed out of bed this morning. I was awake. I don't know if you ever had one of those moments. I'm sure you have. I had almost one of those sit up in the bed moments last night. All of a sudden, boom, wide awake. You know how that happens? Now, I went to bed about 9, so if I slept till 3:30, maybe, I think it was, I still got some pretty good sleep last night. But man, I'm feeling something here this morning. Can't wait to share it with you. Just can't. So notify somebody, say tune in, because we're gonna have a discussion here that I think great things going on. Hey, Bobby Lee. I see Bobby Lee's in here. We had a rally here in Ohio yesterday. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. There was a successful rally here in Ohio. Same problem as I always see at these rallies at the State House. Very little organization, although much better organized this time than any that I've been to. We are having a rally this Saturday at the State House in Columbus, Ohio, 1:00. Anybody in the area that's close, please come and join us. Listen, folks, this is going to be, I told my wife yesterday, I said, we got to bring our grandkids because this is going to be one of those times in history that we're going to be talking about what's going on right now in 2020. This is one of those moments. And I noticed yesterday when I went to the event down in Columbus, there were a lot of young kids there, young kids holding signs. And I was reminded again, this is who it's about. It's about these young kids. And it's about what type of future we're going to hand off to our children and our grandchildren. And I am so sick. Can I tell you something? I am so sick of short-sighted Christians who are worried about people dying from the virus. Stop a minute. I am too. All right? I'm worried about people dying from the virus. But my friends, our culture and our society and our way of life is about to die as well. If we don't wake up and understand that this battle between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman is playing out in front of us, ask yourself this. Who is for lockdown? God or the devil? Who is for liberty? God or the devil? All we have to do is just take our understanding of what we know about the scriptures and about this two-sided fight that we have going on. And it's very easy to identify which team is doing what. And I cannot believe how many of my Christian brethren are playing on the devil's team. What? Because we're talking about fear. They're playing on the devil's team. Boy, if I could get Michelle on this, she got a great revelation about that yesterday. Fear, that's what I'm going to talk about today. Fear, fear. And I look at what's going on, and I see an unbelievable opportunity. What an opportunity. The Lord said, fear not, fear not. He said, I'm not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Perfect love casteth out fear. I can go on and on and on. Folks, you better hear me. There are two teams on the field right now, and we've got traitors. Our faith team has traitors. And they are serving fear. They're serving fear. What are they afraid of? Might get the flu. Well, okay. Might. I might get the flu. I got people online praying I get the flu. Praying I get the flu. Now, you tell me, is that of the Lord? Is that of the Lord? People supposedly carrying the name of Christ, praying I get the flu, praying that all of us go down and get the flu because we're not obeying. I'm just telling you, just go on my Facebook page, folks. Just go there. You know what I saw yesterday when I was in downtown Columbus? I didn't see fear. I saw faith arising. That's what I saw. I saw people rising above the fear to understand that liberty guarantees you the right to have to face fear. That's what liberty gives you. Liberty gives you the right to face your own fears. I don't need the government protecting me. Hey, I may need them to protect me against China. I might need them to protect me against some boogeyman that's going to come in here. But I don't need the government to protect me from a virus. Now, they've done a great job of notifying me of this virus. I know what it is. I know I need to wash my hands. I know I don't need to touch my face. I know I got to be careful who I'm around. I know I got to wash the door. I got that. How much longer am I going to cower in my life in fear? Because fear is not of the Lord, my boys and my friends. Fear is not of the Lord. It's not. God's not giving us a spirit. I'm going to go there today. Fear is a spirit, baby. Faith, which is a Mark, dare I say it? I don't even know if Mark's in here. Faith is energy. Fear is energy. Faith and fear cannot abide in the same heart. It's fire and water. They cannot. Faith and fear cannot abide in the same heart. Now, you know what? You know what? You know what woke me up last night? A spirit of fear woke me up at 3:30. And I don't even know what it was. But I know this. I was shocked awake. And when I sat up in bed, I knew it was fear. Now, I couldn't even tell you what it was. I didn't know what I was afraid of. And immediately, when that spirit of fear, when that shock of fear hit me, my mind began to run. Boom, boom, boom. What am I afraid of? What is this? What is this fear? What is this? What is it? Trying to find out where this thing's coming from, what it's about. Am I afraid of this? Am I afraid of this? What is it? And see, it didn't even matter because fear is a spirit that crept in last night and woke me up, trying to trouble me in my sleep. Now, you can think I'm crazy if you want to. And you know what I said I was going to do? I'm not going to lay here in this bed and fight a spirit of fear. Anybody out there know what I'm talking about? Anybody else out there sometimes have trouble sleeping? Anybody else out there sometimes find yourself sitting up in the middle of the night?
Thanks,
and think, what the heck am I doing worrying about this stuff? It's a spirit. It's a spirit of fear. God. Now, see, there's a healthy fear. We're supposed to fear God, fear the Lord. The fear of God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But you got to know something? You know, God's fear, God's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He does not force his fear on you. The Holy Spirit forces faith on you. The Holy Spirit emanates faith. And if you're fearful of the Lord, faith comes. See, but well, you know what's going on? It's everywhere you look. There's fear. There's a spirit of fear loose in America. Hang on. Not in Columbus yesterday. Bobby, was a spirit of fear? Was there a spirit of fear there, Bobby, in Harrisburg, PA? Oh, hang on a minute, Bobby. Oh, the number of people on my Facebook page when I made those Facebook videos, live Facebook videos, that all the people on there criticized me. Oh, you're going to get sick. You're going to make everybody else sick. Oh, that pandemic. Oh, it's unbelievable. I'm telling you, folks, we are being controlled by fear. Hey, Bobby, any fear in Pennsylvania yesterday?
Hey, there was no fear there. All you felt was aggression and happiness and joy of being there, stepping into the face of the enemy. The energy there was just something incredible, Coach.
It's Bobby. It's tangible. Right? Meaning what? You can feel it.
You can feel it. Yes.
You can feel it. Because you know what? I saw some of the same people yesterday that I saw on Saturday. They were back. Hey, folks, listen. Come and join us. Come and join us. Shake off that spirit of fear. Folks, listen, I'm telling you, many of you, whether you will admit it or not, are being controlled by fear. Now, let's take away the pandemic. Let's take away the fear of the flu. Let's get that out of our head a minute. What else in your life is controlling you? What other fear is controlling you? Not going to have enough money? Going to get cancer? My children are... No, not going to have enough food. I promise my bank account's not full. Where am I going to get this? See, the enemy operates on fear, and fear, for the most part, produces a worry or a concern or an energy about something that ain't never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Fear steals faith. Fear steals joy. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He said to Joshua, be strong, be not afraid, be not dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. So if you have the Spirit of God inside you, fear has no ability, has no power over you. You have faith, which kills fear. Faith kills fear. And what are we seeing all across the American fruited plain right now? The spirit of fear. Fear. Church is locked. The faithful church locked down in fear of an invisible virus. Now, I'm not talking about prudence. I'm not talking about wisdom. I'm not talking about washing your hands. Huh? Look at people out there that are wearing lots of their own masks. They're outside, it's 80 degrees, and they're wearing masks. I said, what? I got on the full armor of God. Put on a helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, gird my loins with truth. Shout out
to
the preparation of gospel peace. I carry the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit. And having all to, done all to stand, I'm standing. I dwell in the secret place of the Host High. Yes, I'm prudent. Yes, I'm smart. No, I'm not careless. But by golly, I am not going to be controlled by fear. I will not be controlled by fear. And I want you to think about you right now. Right now. What is it you are afraid of? Not just a pandemic. In your life in general, what is it in your life that is holding, what are you afraid of that is holding you back? There are great things to be done, but you won't do it. Why? For fear. Fear. Go say it again. Fear. America is controlled by fear. The church is full of fear. Not much faith in the church. A lot of fear in the church. Why? Because it's pumped into us all the time. And it is a spirit. And dare I say it, Mark, it is energy. Fear is energy. So is faith. Perfect faith. Perfect love casteth out fear. Fear is a power. But love's a greater one. Faith is a greater one. It's a stronger power. But see, we are trained to look at the fear. Fear's a bully. Fear's aggressive. Fear, even in your sleep, fear tries to creep in and wake you up and control you. When's the last time you woke up in the middle of the night having a beautiful dream? It doesn't happen too much, does it? No. Because fear is a spirit. And America is engulfed in a spirit. Can I show you something here? Oh, God. Bobby, I didn't listen. Folks, stay with me. This is I've been bubbling in me all day. All day, by meaning 3:30 whenever I got up, been bubbling in me all day. Had a conversation yesterday. Lord, show me where to go here. Show me what. Listen, I'm making some notes. I'm looking at my notes. I want to say this publicly to some of you. I'm going to use the word hell. Okay, folks. I want to use that word hell. I want to say this to some people. Stay the heck off of my Facebook page. Stay the heck off. When you come onto my Facebook page, you're coming into my house. And you're welcome in my house, but you're not allowed to come in my house and puke. You understand? And if you continue to come into my house and puke that fear and puke that bilge, I'm going to throw you out of my house. I don't ban anybody, but I've had enough of it. If you got so much fear, so much people, so many people you want to puke on, you puke on your own page. You just puke away on your own page. You puke in your own living room. You quit puking in mine. I'm not going to have it anymore. It's crazy. I cannot believe how many people love and are motivated by fear. I ain't going to live there. I ain't gonna live there. Now, Hey. Yes.
All right, Chad.
Hey, I'm just gonna say that, you know, I think this message was put on you by the Holy Spirit, because I've been dealing with that too, through this past weekend and all with our assembly and everything. But what came across me is the greatest pandemic of all time is coming right now, and that's the fear pandemic. That's the pandemic. That's what
Chad, are you reading my notes? Did I send you a compliment?
That's what I'm saying, Dave. This is Holy Spirit because he's like, quit being a scaredy cat and get out there and do something.
Oh man, oh man. I'm getting goosebumps. Hey, can I just roll here a minute? Can I just roll? Yeah, you guys listen. You guys know what fear is like. We all deal with it. We all deal with it. We're supposed to have the fear of God. And I'm not talking about phony faith. I'm not talking about that faith being just a sort of I believe it. No, you don't really believe it. You really don't. Why? Because it's a constant battle over fear. And sadly, you have got your fear spigot. Imagine a water spigot. Your fear spigot. The society fear spigot, baby. It is full blow. It is the Niagara Falls 24 hours a day. That spigot is on, and that thing is bombarding you. And every once in a while, you turn this little spigot on over, and every once in a while, you get a little jolt of faith. Ooh, ooh, ooh. But for the most part, we live over here under the Niagara Falls of fear. Somebody say amen, because I'm nailing it today, baby. You turn on the TV, it's fear.
Amen.
You turn on the internet, it's fear.
Amen,
you
talk to coach.
Fear, fear, and they are just burying us in fear. And I thought last night when I woke up and I sat up in my bed and I began to and I said, Lord, what am I afraid of? What is this, Lord? What is this? I couldn't even zero in what it was. But when that spirit of fear came upon me, it was trying to stir up a fear. Holy Spirit says, stir up the gift that is in you, all right? Stir it up. Stir up that dormant gift that's inside you, that spirit of faith, that spirit of love, and that spirit of stir that gift up. Huh? Encourage yourself in the Lord, the Bible says. Encourage yourself, dude. You got it inside of you. No, don't let this outside force come. Don't let this outside force is coming. Say, what are you worried about, coach? You worried they're going to throw you in jail? You worried they're going to come and shoot you? You worried the FBI is going to come and get you? You worried the IRS is going to come and get you? Is that what you want to live your life like that? I'm a dead man. I'm a dead man. Perfect love cast out fear. If they throw me in jail tomorrow, it's the Lord's will. I'm okay with it. I'm okay. If the FBI shows up my door, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. Are you okay with it? See, they can't fear you. They can't scare you. If you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, they cannot touch you or hurt you without permission of the Lord. They can't do it. Can't do it. And most of us are in prison, in our own prison of fear from this tidal wave of fear constantly being pushed on. My buddy, Pastor Tom Gill, called me the other day. I had a conversation with Pastor Tom. You guys sitting down? Are you sitting down? Because he said something. I said, wow, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's what I said as I was listening to him talk. I just heard Chad say it. Panic. Pandemic. Panic. Pandemic. And Pastor Tom said to me, hey, coach, you ever done any research on Pan? The God Pan. Oh, come on, Tom. That's mythology. Really? Pan. Panic. Pandemic. I did some research on Pan. Are you buckled in? You want to go for a ride with me here? You buckled in? Anybody know who Pan was? I'm going to stop there a minute because somebody just got a hold of what I just said. Go ahead. Go ahead and say it. Go ahead. Hey, while they do that, Sheldon, get ready for me, Sheldon, the video, who was Pan? Who was Pan? Isn't that unusual? Thanks, Pastor Tom. Pandemic, panic, panic setting in, panic attacks, Pan. Yeah, but Coach, that was just a mythological creature. Is there some truth in mythology, I wonder? Hermes? Is there some Hercules? Is there some Poseidon? Is there some truth in that? Go ahead and play that, Sheldon. Quick little YouTube video on who was Pan. Hey. When's the last time you heard this in church? Go ahead.
But sadly, they tend to hog the limelight, and stories of the lesser gods and deities are sometimes swept under the rug and almost forgotten. A good example of this is Pan, the god of the wild. He frequently features in literature and artwork, but he is not considered one of the major gods of ancient Greece. Some of you may even be more familiar with the creature from the film Pan's Labyrinth than Pan's depictions in Greek mythology. Although the creature in the movie is not Pan, their appearances are similar. It could be Pan's association with nature and wildlife that caused his appearance to differ from the other gods. His upper body was just like that of a man, but he also had the lower half of a goat, along with horns, a combination that we've now come to refer to as a faun. There are many who consider Pan to be one of the oldest gods in Greek mythology. His association with nature, wooded areas and pasture lands is where his name is derived from. Pan was first worshipped in the rustic rural areas, far from the large populated cities, meaning that there were no large temples or monuments built to worship him. The worship of Pan instead took place in nature, commonly in caves and grottos, with his most avid followers being shepherds and hunters. It was pretty commonplace for shepherds and herdsmen to sacrifice a portion of their cattle in the name of Pan. When it came to offerings made in his name, Pan enjoyed vases and all kinds of pottery, but it was known that he had a particular taste for grasshoppers coated in gold. The exact lineage of Pan is uncertain, with some accounts of him being the son of Hermes and others claiming that he was the son of Zeus. In some stories, his mother was Penelope, wife to the hero Odysseus. Despite the identity of his parents being a mystery, the story of Pan's birth remains the same. When Pan was born, his mother was so distressed by his unusual appearance that she ran away, abandoning Pan. He was later found and taken to Mount Olympus, where he would become a favorite of the gods.
Freeze it a second. Sheldon, you guys ever heard of a chimera? Half animal, half human? Go ahead.
The gods and goddesses, Pan had a host of attributes that set him apart from human beings. He was capable of running long distances in a short period of time without suffering fatigue, and in some accounts he could even teleport himself to Mount Olympus and back. He also possessed immense strength and was immortal. Pan is quite often depicted as having a playful and almost trickster-like sense of humor, and that coupled with his ability to transform objects into different forms meant that he would often entertain himself with mischievous schemes and plans. When he wasn't up to no good, Pan would spend the rest of his time chasing the nymphs through the forest, attempting to seduce them. They would often flee because of his unconventional appearance, and in many of the old stories, Pan was considered to be rather ugly. There is a story about a particular wood nymph that Pan took a liking to because she was the most beautiful in all the forest. She rejected all of Pan's advances and took refuge amongst her sisters, who transformed her into a reed. Unsure which reed she had been transformed into, Pan took a handful of them, each of differing size, and joined them together. He began to blow, producing a melody that captivated all around him, and thus the Pan flute was created, forever named after its creator. He was considered to have an affinity for music, and was often shown alongside his instrument. Pan was a frequent companion to Dionysus, the god of wine. With wine and music going hand in hand, these two were essentially ancient drinking buddies. The word panic is believed to have derived from Pan. His menacing voice frightened anyone who was unfortunate enough to stumble upon him. There is a tale of war, where a horde of giants marched upon Mount Olympus and the gods. It is said that Pan's shout was so overwhelming that when they heard it, the giants began to panic and flee, aiding the gods in their eventual victory. Over the years, Pan has been a symbol of nature and the wild, the ancient mystery of the forest. He shows no interest in accumulating power like many of the other gods. Instead, he is a free-spirited individual, boisterous and lustful, and he'd rather partake in activities that we expect from humans, listening to music, drinking wine, and just having a good time. There is no doubt that Pan is an entertaining character, and much like nature, he's unpredictable and at times frightening, which is what makes him so interesting. I hope you guys enjoyed today's video. If you did, then please go ahead and give it a like because it helps a lot. But as always, I've been your host, Mythology and Fiction Explained, wishing everyone a happy holiday.
I'm going to open it up here a second. I'm just looking at Pan was the demon that disorders the intellect. I'm looking at a website, Gnostic Warrior. Pan is a demon that disorders the intellect. You know what fear does to us? Isn't that what is? Can you think of anything other than fear that would cause you to put on a mask and hide in your house? Can you think of anything else that would do that? To think that they're telling us that it's a pandemic? Pan-demon, pan-demonic, a fear, demonic fear engulfing everything, pandemic. Somebody come on in. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? What are you serving fear? Can't serve faith and fear. Can't serve them both. And are you serving your faith or are you serving your fear? Which one are you serving? Come on, somebody come on in here. Come on in here. I'll get Trump talking about it. I know he'll talk about it. Somebody, pandemonium. You're right, Polly. Pandemonium. Pandemic. Panic. Energy. Something creating negative energy that does what? That destroys the intellect. Pan is a demon that disorders the intellect.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I think this, you're right on the hit the nail on the head on this also. I think just watching a lot of people too, I think they're afraid of looking like they're not afraid of this pandemic. I think I've just talked to people who know this all isn't about Corona 19, but they're still following along. Because they're afraid if they don't, they'll be called, hater, or they're going to kill somebody or something along that line.
They're not afraid of the virus. They're afraid of what people are going to say because they're not. So they're still motivated by fear, aren't they?
Exactly.
Still motivated by fear in all of its forms. Because when you, like out here where I live, friends, we have coyotes. And in the middle of the night, I hear the coyotes, whether they're attacking a deer or whether they're attacking a dog. Got one of our cats, by the way. Whenever they're hearing that, and you hear that curdlish, that howl, you hear them do that. There's an energy that comes off of that thing. In my room, I'm like, ooh. But not all fear is like that, is it? Not all fear sounds like a coyote. Sometimes it's the hiss of a snake. But nevertheless, it's an energy that's created. Myra, you want to come in here?
Yes. Thank you, Coach Tava Myra. I think that's brilliant. Praise the Lord Jesus for your show and the brothers and sisters that came up with this video. You hear right in the right where it is. It's definitely a demon. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, dear. And not only that, folks, understand how powerful fear is. It's one of the greatest motivators in all of the world. We are all motivated by fear. And if I could get my wife on the phone, if I could get her in here, we were standing out in front of the State House yesterday, and she got a revelation. I'd have her come down and give it to you, but she doesn't hadn't put on her makeup yet, probably, and her hair probably doesn't look good. And she won't come down and tell you, but she looked over at me. She says, honey, honey, people are serving fear. They're not serving Christ. Christians aren't serving Christ. They're serving fear. Look around. Our churches were fearful of the... Our churches are fearful. See, we disguise it as what? Compassion. I'm compassionate for my fellow brother. I'm trying to protect them. We masquerade it as compassion. Folks, it's not compassion. It's fear. It's fear that what I have, you might get, or what I don't have, I might get from you. It's fear. Come on in, John Diamond. I see you there.
Hey, brother. I'll tell you what, man. It's good being back from our little Harrisburg trip yesterday, trying to take down a tyrant. But, man, the whole way back home, and I'd drive with the radio off and just praying and thinking. And I'll tell you what, that was the message really that I got. I've been up since 2 o'clock in the morning working on this because I'm going to do a separate video myself on this. But I got an argument with a buddy at work the other day, and he was like, you know, why wouldn't you wear a face mask and this and that? And I said, you understand that this is all about fear. I said, you understand that back during World War II, there was an invisible enemy and it was called Japan. Do you realize that they locked up hundreds of thousands of Japanese Americans for committing no crime, stealing their civil liberties, and it was based on nothing but fear? And I've been studying this just through the government's website since about 2 a.m. You should see the lies that were coming out of the press, that were coming out of the government. And these things mirror almost identically what is happening in America today with this pandemic. The lies of the media, the lies of our government. I mean, it's you could just draw a comparison, just one right next to another. From that fear pandemic that they had, they were taking infants from adoptive parents because they did not want them engaging in espionage. I mean, if you were worried about Japanese, you know, kind of infiltrators going to sabotage the United States, and you're just going to lock up everybody because of it, to lock up children and infants and take them from adoptive parents, if you had even 1/16th of Japanese blood, is just horrific. And we so forget history. And man, when I told him that night at work, I said, you'd one of those people that would have just said, lock up every Japanese. That's exactly what you would have done. You would have been standing there going, I don't see the harm in it. We got this hidden enemy. We don't know if they're going to kill us or not. And that's exactly, one of the quotes, let me see if I can get to the page real quick, because this is just insane what this is what the general even said. He said the fact that there's been no attacks on our own land, no espionage, really worries me because that tells me it's coming. So if they don't, if there had been attacks, then we need to lock them up. And because there have been no attacks, we need to lock them up anyway. And it is just it's a message that they need to hear today. So I'm glad you're preaching on it this morning.
Well, brother, it must be the Holy Spirit. If he woke you up and woke me up and. And I will, folks, my wife is so right on. She is so right on. Folks, listen, I will not serve fear. I refuse to serve fear. And I don't care how much you tell yourself and justify to yourself that you're trying to do the right thing and you don't want anybody else to get, why don't you get him infected with the Holy Spirit? Huh? Infect him with the Holy Spirit. They'll never get the Holy Spirit from you if you're hiding from the virus. Come on in, Jody. You're on, Jody, if you want to. Come on in.
No, it's okay.
Well, I'm sorry. It was open. That's why I saw it. Anybody else? Come on in here.
Hey, Coach.
Yes. Yes, Roger.
Real quick, I think we also spend time today or later on. How do you defeat fear? My feeling is the way you defeat fear is reading his word. As much as I love your program and it does a lot of things for me, true defeating of fear is through his word and his scripture. Anybody else have testimonies of how they have defeated fear?
Yeah, I'll give you one. I faced it. I faced it. I went to the state house. I went to the state house. I didn't sit home and hide. I didn't sit home and worry about spreading it to somebody else. I didn't worry about getting arrested. I faced it. I went there. That's how you defeat fear. Face your fear. Overcome your fear. Overcome your fear. Job said, the thing that I fear most has come upon me.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Matthew 10:28. We quote it, but we need to live it. Fear not him who can destroy your flesh. Fear not corona that can destroy your flesh. Amen. But fear him who can destroy your flesh and cast your very soul into hell.
Amen,
God
brother.
Told us to go out into the whole world, into the highways and byways, and be compelling to the people. Brother, when we don't do this, what this fear is because truly it's based on self-preservation. The reason why these people say, oh, sickness, you'll get this, what they're really afraid of is they're afraid of getting sick. They're trying to self-preserve themselves.
Come on, dude. Keep laying that truth down, Dale. Keep laying it down. And see, they say to you, well, you're going down there and you're putting everybody else at risk. No, they don't have the courage to go. And so they want to justify to themselves why they're not going. They might spread it to somebody else. I said, you know what I'm going to do, sir? I'm going to go down there. I'm going to spread my faith to somebody else. I'm not going to take my fear. I'm going to go spread my faith to them. That's what I'm going to do. That's why we're going to gather again next Saturday at 1 o'clock at the State House. Why? Because I'm not going to be motivated and controlled by fear. I'm not going to live my life like that. And I want to ask you this. Listen to me.
Had parents who was raised up in the 20s.
Say it again, Jeff.
Some of us had parents that was raised up in the 20s. Yes. I wonder what fear they had back then when in 1914, we had a president that had hit squads going out because we were going to get in World War I, and he was getting people in the United States talking against them, doing hit squads. We had an economy in 1930, depression hit. What kind of fear they had then?
Amen. They didn't have the internet. Didn't have Facebook,
yeah.
Did they, Joseph?
No, they didn't have Facebook. And then went to World War II, Iwo Jima, the Filipino Wars. What kind of fear we had then?
Amen. And what do we do, brother? We face the fear, do we not, folks? Aren't we supposed to face fear? And do you know this? Do you know it tells us in 1 John 5:18, I think it is. It doesn't matter. Did you know this? It says, fear hath torment. Torment. We're tormented by fear. Everywhere you turn, it's fear, fear, fear. What did my sweet wife say? You serve fear, you ain't serving the Lord. You can act like you are, you ain't serving the Lord. If you're serving fear, if you are sheltering in place, hang on, for fear, you might spread it. Who are you serving that, brother? Who are you serving? Now, I'm not talking about...
Hey, Coach.
I'm not talking about common sense. I'm talking about precautions. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about whether or not you are scared of an invisible virus. Don't even know if it exists. Go ahead, Jeff.
If you want to see fear in people's faces, yesterday I had at least 10 people, at least, that I've mentioned were going to the governor's home Saturday at 10:30 a.m., and you ought to see the look on their face. They didn't even say a word. Their eyeballs about bugged out of their head. But that's what we're doing Saturday, and we figured if we want to, we can still swing by the State House on the way back after we go to the governor's home. And we'll figure out which one he's at, Cedarville or the mansion.
Jeff, I can't wait you guys do that. That little weasel was on Fox News last night.
Yeah, he is a little weasel. He is a little
we're
weasel.
We're going to see Midget Mike.
Really? Honor our governor? Hey, listen. I'm a short guy. Okay? Don't make fun of a short guy. Don't do that. We shouldn't do that. It's not fact he's a midget. He's a tyrant. Call him tyrant. I don't care how tall he is or how short he is. Napoleon wasn't very big. I'm not very tall. Right? All of us. Let's stop making fun of him because he's small. He's a tyrant. I don't care if he's 10 foot tall. He's a tyrant. I don't care. Hey, some of you guys are afraid of a virus. You can't only see that under a microscope. Size ain't got nothing to do with it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, three quarters way through the tribulation period in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7, there's no more men preaching the gospel anymore on the earth. God has to send angels to preach the gospel. And the one angel he sent there, the first thing out of his mouth was, fear God. That's the problem. You started out with it, and Dale finished it up right there a second ago. We don't have any fear of God in the land anymore. We fear everything but God. God's not number one, and that's why we're dealing with what we're dealing with.
So let's be honest, right? We're serving fear. We serve fear. Do you have any idea? Just hang on here a second. Hang on here a second. Do you have any idea how hard I fought fear to buy Sky High? Do you have any idea how hard I fought to buy that? No matter how much I told myself, I knew it was from the Lord. I knew it was from the Lord. Oh, how are we going to pay for it? Now we're going to do this. Oh, you never get this done. And then this is going to happen. And oh, blah, blah. And I'm saying, you know what? Yeah. A lot of reasons not to. There are a lot of reasons not to. But by God, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it. Why? If somebody doesn't want me to. And the Lord wants me to. And I'm going to buy it. How many things have you not done?
That's it, Coach, because one word from the Lord outstacks all those doubts and fears that try to tell you otherwise, brother, and it solidifies in your house. Now, if we did a comparison of most of those people who want to stay home and crouch back, they're the same ones. Oh, Jesus is coming. The problem is the scripture says when the Lord comes back, he will find many shrunken back. When you think about shrunken back, that's the one that's sitting in the corner, shaking like a chihuahua dog, shrunken back in their fear. Is that the condition? If you're crying out for the Spirit of the Lord to come, is this the condition you want him to find you in when he does come?
Well, Dale, doesn't it say when he comes, will he find faith? Doesn't it say that? What? Hey, folks, come on. Faith, fear, total opposites. He didn't come and say, well, I find fear. He knows he's going to find fear. He said, well, I find faith. Why? Because faith overcomes fear.
There's giants in the land.
Casts out fear.
There's giants in the land. Why didn't they go into the land, brother? Because out of fear.
Amen. Amen. And see, I didn't even know what I was afraid of. I was afraid of, oh, this is going to happen. And I'm thinking, yeah, but this might happen. And by the way, the Lord told me that my grandson, that the Lord would open doors and I'd walk through them. Now, hang on here. Stay with me a second. I was standing in a pulpit in Zanesville, Ohio, back in 99, I think I was. I'd just gone through the battle with the American Civil Liberties Union, and I'd just been offered a new contract to coach at London High School. I've been through all that mess and I didn't get fired. Oh, they wanted to fire me, but I didn't get fired. And I was standing in a pulpit in Zanesville, Ohio, and I was telling the story about Peter walking on water, stepping out of the boat. You think Peter had any fear when he went and stepped out of that boat then? He said, Lord, if that's you, by the way, he recognized the Lord and then said, Lord, am I really seeing what I think I see? Lord, if that's you, sure looks like you, Lord, but I don't know, should I do it? Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water, if it's you. And Jesus said, what? Come on, dude. Come on. And Peter walked out on the water. And I'm in the pulpit in Zanesville, Ohio, telling that story. And I heard the Holy Spirit of God say to me, step out of the boat. As I'm telling that story, I heard the Holy Spirit of God say to me, step out of the boat. And in that moment, I froze. And I thought, are you kidding me? You know how fast thoughts go. Are you kidding me? Quit. After all this I've been through, quit. You got to be crazy. You watch how hard I've been fighting for this, standing up for this. I got in the car on the way home. I told Michelle, I said, I think I'm going to resign. She said, what? Yeah, I said, I think I'm going to resign. I said, why? I said, the Lord told me to step out of the boat. I said, Lord, you really want me to quit? You really want me to quit, Lord? He never answered me. You know why? Because he knew I'd hurt him. He knew very clearly I hurt him.
Dave?
I'm going to step back and see whether or not I was going to have the faith to do it, or whether I was going to be controlled by my fear. What am I going to do for a job? Amen. I got to feed my three kids and put my kids through college. How am I going to be? I can't do it. I really want to serve you, Lord. I can't do that. And I did.
Yeah. Dave?
Yeah.
But I think what you've highlighted there, and is very important, is you, God directly spoke. You knew his presence in that decision. See, there's times fear can drive you towards repentance. There's times fear can drive you in a direction that you may not want to go because you may be afraid of something. That doesn't mean it's necessarily bad. But I think, you know, there is a time when fear, God is speaking to you. See, sometimes I may be afraid, but sometimes that can be turned into wisdom that God is warning me not to do something, or telling me, you know, he can use fear to say, listen, I'd stay away from that. You're going to get burned.
Roger, that's why in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom.
Well, and that gets back to the idea of how do we defeat fear. For me, it is scripture. Scripture will defeat it. Healthy fellowship, good wisdom, counsel from others, men that you trust with their thinking, will help you utilize fear in a positive way, but also prevent you from falling in the trap of being, you know, held hostage by it.
Right.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah,
I believe there's two motivators. There's just two. It's fear and faith.
Okay.
If we succumb to fear, we stay back and we do like Dale said, we pull back, we do nothing. Coach, when you step out of the boat, when you go to these and be an activist, when you hear God, when you really hear him, and this is what love does, it says, I am not unstable in all my ways because I hear you. I'm going to do what you say to do.
Amen, Randy. I'm stable. Amen.
That is right, Coach. Now, to be an activist, you have to overcome fear.
All the time.
You have to attack it. That means in your flesh, in your body, you have to attack it and say, I will not allow you to be part of this. And that lets the Holy Spirit in you move forward.
Amen.
It isn't about us. It's about the Holy Spirit in us. That's the whole power on the earth. It isn't us. It's him. But if we stay back in fear, Coach, he doesn't even get to the fight.
So, how many of you watching right now are glad I walked away from coaching?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, amen.
I could have made it. Ohio Coaches Hall of Fame. I could have coached. Oh yeah, what a great coach he is. I stepped out of the boat, man. I got a promotion. See, I stepped out of the boat. I got a promotion in the kingdom of God when I faced fear. When they stoned Stephen, does anybody know what they saw when they stoned Stephen? What did Stephen say? Said, oh my goodness, I see the Lord, and he's standing up.
You didn't walk away from coaching. You're now coaching the children of God.
You get my point though, right? You get my point. The fact that I obeyed has touched. I'm not bragging. I'm showing you fruit. My obedience has had far greater impact than it ever had I continued to coach football. You understand that? I'm not bragging. I'm trying to encourage you. What is it that you could be doing that you're not doing because you're afraid? You're afraid. You say, well, I just want to go 2 more years and then I'll get my retirement. 2 more years, I'll get my retirement. Oh, good. And you go 2 more years, you get your retirement, and you have a heart attack 4 days later. Why? Because you got your faith in your retirement. Faith's not in the Lord. You're afraid that you're not going to have enough money to live on retirement. Hey, fellas, I don't want to scare you. Most of you out there right now, your pensions are probably about to go away. You do understand that, don't you? You do understand it. It's about to go away. Something going on here with the oil and the money. Listen, your money's all going away. Not trying to scare you. I'm not afraid of it. It's all going to go away. I don't know what's coming, but that's all going to go away. And yet we sit around and try to accumulate as much of it. And then all of a sudden it's going to be what? A wheelbarrow full. Isn't that what it says someplace in that Bible? Doesn't it say that? A wheelbarrow full of pennies for a loaf of bread. Want to say that somewhere?
Yep.
I think it does.
You know, it's interesting, Coach, about fear. Is fear produces cortisol, and cortisol actually affects your immunity.
Isn't that something? Because cortisol. I did see that there are people who are now getting sick over fear, nervousness. They've been home. They don't have a job. They don't have any paychecks. It's making them sick. We're seeing suicide. We're seeing domestic violence. We're seeing... Why? Because fear is a terrible taskmaster, buddy. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Hey, Coach, those people that's like that, they don't have any hope because their hope's not in Christ. Their hope was in everything else that they see, but not in the King.
So you know, Randy, I saw John Brockoff yesterday. I don't know if John's in there. John Brockoff, mad bomber. He showed up there. He drove up by himself from down Southern Ohio. I'm looking to see if he's in here this morning. Talking about you, John. You know, he said to me when I left, said, hey, I'll see you later, John, whatever. So I'll see you Saturday, John, coming back on Saturday. You know what he said? He said, I'm so glad I came. This encouraged me so much.
Yeah.
Folks, come on, man. Come Saturday. Come Saturday. Please get in your car. Fill up your car. Let's put 10,000 people. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get on that microphone. We don't have one. I'm going to get one there. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Prayer of repentance. Cry out for our nation. Not just talk about midget Mike or whatever. No. Ask God's spirit to fall upon us again. That's what I want. That's what I want.
Coach, I want to say this, and this is. I think this is the Holy Spirit. I'm going to challenge everyone that hears this, but everyone, everywhere, every American, everyone that loves freedom, if they will get up and go to this or to Bobby's or to wherever it is, they will win the battle right then. They will win a battle over fear in their personal life right then.
Amen.
Coach, this is where we have to move to. We have to move out of our little safe zone and get out into the fight. When we do that, we become a warrior. Amen. We become a person of faith. Fear is behind us. It's far. We are ahead of it. That's what we have to do to overcome fear.
And Randy, I might end up in jail.
So what?
So what?
So what? Go bring the gospel to the jail cell.
Come on, man. Come on, folks.
Coach D.L. Moody said this: faith asks only one question, and that is, what has God said? See, we're listening to everything the government says. The question is, what has God said? And his word is what he says.
Amen. Faith and fear cannot abide in the same heart. I'm going to tell you, are you watching? There's us 52 of you in the queue. Some of you, most of you, most of us serve our fear. Most of us do. If we would be honest about it. I won't say that.
What's fear?
What's that?
What is the frequency of fear?
Oh, what is it? Mark Trump, what's the frequency of fear? Huh? What is the frequency of fear?
How do they say all the time? A dog can tell you're afraid, right? You're giving off an energy.
Hey, Jack, how about that, right? They said that when a dog comes running at you, if you're a UPS deliverer, you're a mailman, or you wherever you are, and a dog's in that yard and he comes running at you, the worst thing you can do is turn and run. Show fear. You hunker down and you face fear with faith. They can feel it, can't they, Jack?
So on the other side of that is, what's the frequency of courage? Do you exude courage? Do other people get encouraged when you beat your fear?
It's contagious. No. That's right. Courage is contagious. Well, fear is contagious too, but most people are already operating in fear. But I can tell you this, courage is contagious, baby. There ain't nothing like it. See, that's what Bobby Lee felt yesterday in Pennsylvania. That's what John Brockoff felt at Columbus. He felt faith. hope.
You saw what we were doing in Maine yesterday, Coach.
Yeah, that's
it
right.
Was great. It was great. People were, we're all being part of this neat experiment. We're causing the experiment. If the coronavirus is that deadly, then in 14 days, there ought to be a bunch of us old people just dropping dead like flies all over the country, right?
Well, praise the Lord if I do. Praise the Lord if I do drop dead. Psalm Ecclesiastes 7 says that's a great day when I drop dead. Hey, real quick here, about out of time. Pull up on, I got it for you there, Sheldon. It says the Bible. No, yeah, Bible and fear, Sheldon. Pull that up there real quick. I want to leave you with, I want to encourage you today. Hey, pandemic, you're serving fear. You guys are serving fear. We're all serving fear. They're feeding us fear, serving us fear. And we say, well, I'm going to stay home so I don't spread it to anybody else. Well, I'm not going to stay home because I ain't going to get it. I ain't going to get it. Pandemic, pandemonium, it's everywhere. The words are right out there in front of us, and we're serving it, and we don't even understand why. So right there on your screen right now are, look at these. Look how many there are times that the Holy 100 Bible verses about a spirit of fear. 100 Bible verses about a spirit of fear. It must be pretty important, folks. It must be pretty important. And ask yourself this. The media sources that you are following, are they serving you up faith or are they serving you up fear? Which one markets better, faith or fear? Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, Matthew 6:34. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them. Be not troubled. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteousness required of the law might be fulfilled, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh and fear. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. All throughout the Scriptures, my friends. All throughout the Scriptures. All throughout the Scriptures. Pandemic. Pandemonium. Pan. A spirit of what? A spirit that causes unclear thinking. Irrational thought. Wow. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Wow, Romans 8:25. There, oh my goodness. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. You say those who have an anxious heart, strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Are you serving the Lord or are you serving fear? Hey, what Bob Dylan say? Got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. As for me and my house, we ain't serving fear. We're serving the Lord. Please join us Saturday, 1 o'clock in downtown Columbus. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.